Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome in to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're presented by Four Winds Casino. Mike's side with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Ryan, how you doing?
I feel great.
Do you really?
I was at the game on Sunday. It's amazing what a little speed and youthful enthusiasm will do for you. That was great.
Like, we're instead of talking about draft prospect rankings and all this different, like, we're legitimately seeing these guys perform, and you're like, oh, Sam Renzel in Minnesota a week ago skates like
turns out
a
he's
god.
Awesome. Yeah, it turns out he's spectacular.
Yeah,
so you see it with your own eyes, and there's no like, will his game translate? It's translating.
Well, there's only one place to start.
Sandin whistles one wide. Ovechkin's camped out in the slot area, covered by Vlasic. Ovechkin fires. He scores. Alex Ovechkin has Wayne Gretzky dead ahead. Can move those guys around to get Ovi open. Here's a pass. Ovechkin scores! The great eight stands side by side with the great one. Strome crisscrossing with Chychrun through center. Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice. Ovechkin fires. Scores! The chasing days are done! Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL!
What a call on Monumental Sports. What a weekend for Alex Ovechkin and the sport of hockey. He catches Gretzky on Friday. He passes him yesterday to become the top goal scorer in NHL history. And I thought it was cool that the Blackhawks played about as good a role as you can in it, right?
Yeah.
To be, you're invited to the party, but you didn't give up the breaker. You know, you didn't give up 895.
You won't be. You didn't have to stop the game for the ceremony, the whole thing. So Ovi didn't want the empty netter, which I thought was interesting. I was wondering if you would rather have an empty net with a hat trick at home in a win, or break it on the road in a loss, but he made the decision. He got it. It was a great moment. It's one of those moments as a sports fan you'll never forget.
All right, so you bring up the debate, and apparently Spencer Carberry and Ovechkin had talked about it before the game, but once you're in the game and it's Friday night and the place is absolutely up for grabs, and you know that your next game is going to be in Long Island, and you don't want this to prolong too long.
Correct.
And don't pass up opportunities. So he has the conversation with Ovi in the third period, like, look, and I give Darren Payne credit for picking up on that conversation and saying, no, he's shaking his head. No,
shook him off.
He wants
him
no
off,
part.
Like,
Do
you want the fastball?
No.
We'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, we'll do it the next
and
time.
And so, you know, and I give him credit for that.
And it worked out perfectly.
It really did because he got
to do it from his spot. It was the quintessential kind of Ovi goal. And it was spectacular. And like the NHL and Wayne Gretzky, even Gretzky, I thought was a nice gesture with the Gordie Howe pin. Like everything was, it was very hockey. Like it was very first class. And I loved every second of it.
And when you talk about other sports, I don't think, you know, when LeBron, like LeBron and Michael don't exactly have a relationship.
Correct. Yeah.
Right? And I couldn't see Michael like traveling for a week.
And I think Kareem had it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was and look, I don't think this is biased. I know it was 894. I couldn't tell you 30,000, 60,000, 100,000. I don't know how many points Kareem or LeBron had. Like it's just certain records have more cachet, and this one is up there. It used to be the old home run record, and I think, and this record also felt so unbreakable. It felt impossible, And
even in 2016, there were interviews that resurfaced. One was with Elliot Friedman with Ovechkin, right, asking him point blank, like, hey, you can do this. And he says, no, I can't.
Right, because he needed six more
50-goal seasons. Right, which and he's felt, like, there's like,
yeah,
no way.
No one can do that. And that's the other thing where it's like he did feel we have Edzo coming on, and I think I said this then. He felt like he was an NFL running back. Where, like, his body, like, he can only take so many hits before it's going to be diminishing returns just because he's going to break the hits record, too. He's a wrecking ball out there and always has been. That was kind of the allure for him, is that he might not have been the best or most talented player of his era. There's nobody more electric. Like, he put guys in the first row, score a million goals, the big heavy shot. He was always shot out of a cannon out there early on in his career. Like, he was the most entertaining guy to watch. And I loved when the Penguins and Caps had those playoff series back in the day. And it felt like a heavyweight fight. It was like styles make fights, and you have like the Canadian kid and the Russian kid. And, you know,
and they didn't like each other.
And they did not like each other.
There was a lot of venom in that rivalry to start.
Totally.
And Sid was a hothead.
He was.
People don't realize, don't remember that.
And then they had the game in, I think it was either game six or game seven. They had both had hat tricks. And it was like, oh, my God. Like the game felt like it had come out of, like, the lockout and entered immediately into this golden era. And it was built on those two. And, boy, did they deliver.
So we want your thoughts on what we saw from Ovechkin, whether it was against the Blackhawks on Friday, whether it was the record breaker against the Islanders. 312-332-3776. We'll have Eddie Olczyk, who was on the call for TNT. He'll be joining us coming up in just a bit. But let's go to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Tom in New Jersey. How you doing tonight, Tom?
Doing great, boys. I made the transition from Wednesday to Monday. Everybody else is watching basketball, but I'm talking to my two favorite people.
We appreciate
that, Tom. Thank you.
First of all, with regard to Ovechkin, there was a rumor that Bedard did not get up or acknowledge or go over there. I don't know. I didn't see that part of it. But obviously, it's a great accomplishment, and I won't get into the comparison. I did want to follow up on a topic you guys talked about last week, and that's the coaching change for the Hawks, which I feel is critical. You mentioned David Carl from University of Denver. You mentioned Bednar, Sullivan. My fear is that we're going to go through Jeremy Collison and Luke Richardson 2.0. I want somebody with experience to lead those guys. We've already proven that you can't train these guys on the job. And I would use as an example the guy the Rangers hired. I think it was David Quinn from BU, mm-hmm. Went there, did absolutely nothing. I know we're not going to hire Coach Q, which would be my first choice. That'll never happen. But I don't want to see us sliding backward to a college coach when maybe we could get Bednar or Sullivan, maybe the guy from the Kings, Hiller, or Arniel from the Jets. Let's shop at the top shelf and try to get somebody that can lead those guys, with some experience.
Hey, Tom, let me just ask you one question, because I agree with you on the experience part of this, but David Carl brings a resume that is pretty damn impressive. Are you aware of what Carl has done?
I don't have the total record, no. You guys would be far more experienced in that with me, and that's why I would take, you know, you brought his name up, and you have a lot more credibility than I do, but I'm just afraid it's the BU situation all over again.
I can you've got some scar tissue. I get it. I absolutely understand that. And Bears fans just went through it, but you know they got the right guy.
Yeah.
Seemingly. And like I would just say to this to you, and thanks for the call. Do you like Spencer Carberry? Because he didn't have any head coaching NHL experience. And oh, by the way, his team is in position to win the President's Trophy.
And you could say the same thing about Jim Montgomery. Like, he went to Dallas. Obviously, things went off the rails there, but he's won at every NHL stop.
Chief, he was fired this year and could win Coach of the Year. When has that ever happened in any sport?
It would be a first, I'm sure. But he and so they, Monty's,
they're tied with Winnipeg right now, going for their 13th straight win.
I'm so disgusted by what the Blues are doing. I don't even want to talk about it. I can't talk about it.
Is it kind of like a Packer, like
it's rooted in jealousy. You know, they win it in 19 when the Hawks went, you know, it was over for the Hawks.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, they kind of like they made a couple Brandon Saad kind of moves and they were just kind of sputtering along. They never did a full tank rebuild. And then you get a new coach and they lost Petrangelo. They lost some key pieces. Tarasenko's gone from that 19 team. They just rebuilt on the fly. And now they get the right coach and it's all clicking. And it reminds me, they got the Jobu guy from Major League up there. I'm having 2019 flashbacks. And I need it to end, and I'm hoping Winnipeg will do it tonight. And that, you know, they peaked too soon kind of thing, because I can't have another deep St. Louis playoff run.
Yeah, they've got some injury woes coming their way here, so we're going to see how they handle that. But they have been, you know, one of the great stories of the second half of the season.
It stinks. And I hate it.
So back to the Blackhawks and what we saw against Ovechkin. Did you...
Can I interject something?
Yeah.
I did just do a quick Twitter search. I saw a picture of Bedard and Ovi embracing.
Okay.
So I don't know where that... I hadn't heard that rumor, but I made a quick Twitter search. I think everything's fine.
Can I just ask you a question? Because Tom brought it up, and I know there was the JR thing during the Winter Classic, and there's been some ridiculous stuff out there that he wants out of Chicago, and... You know, for somebody who's around the team every single day, around him, around the people that are, there is zero truth to the rumor that he wants out of Chicago. I don't know where that is.
I fully expect him to sign this summer.
I think,
extension. He's eligible for an extension July 1.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I were him, I probably wouldn't. But
so let me ask you this question. Is this just what comes with being the number one overall pick and having the generational label attached to your name, and you get the people that say, oh, he didn't shake, you know, JR's hand, didn't shake Ovechkin. I mean, it's like,
think it's probably more layered than that, where it is, he's a little diminutive, and he can be, like, he has some body language things out there that I think irk people, and the production's not there. Like, the production is just not what people were expecting when you have that label of generational. So people are having to, like, reset. And I think people get mad and they lash out that it's like, hey, he's actually not going to be Connor McDavid. That's okay. He can still be an all-star for 10 years. He's gotten some criticism that has been fair. And then he's gotten some criticism that's not fair. And so I think everything's going to be fine. Some of the criticism he deserves for some of the things he does on the ice. But a lot of this other stuff feels like noise. So I don't know where the rumors were of he's not going to re-sign. Like, he's going to be here. Like, everyone chill.
Yeah, I think I think it's other cities' wishful thinking that he, you know. It's not too far away from me hoping that the Blackhawks get Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
or
a different.
Or me with Brady Tkachuk is probably a more apt comparison, because Marner is possible. I think him leaving and Brady coming is probably impossible. And I do think it's one of those things, too, where if he was going to finish this year with 110 points, nobody would say a word. But that's not the way it's been.
If there was, and maybe we'll save this a little bit for our last show next week, but if there was a checklist of things you would like him to work on this summer, skating would be near the top of my list. Mm-hmm. And again, this guy is a workhorse. You don't need to worry. I'm just saying, like, maybe adjust some of the regimen that you do in the off season, and that might be mechanics and skating to try to develop maybe a little bit more of a burst.
He needs. It's like his edges are great, the change of direction's great, but yeah, he can't turn the corner. And there was a moment it was going away from me in the game, so it must have been the second period, where it's just, you know, he's coming in on a guy, kind of one on one or a 2-on-2 situation, and it's toe drag shoot, and it goes right in the guy's stick or pads, and it's blocked. And it's like he needs more in his locker, as they would say in soccer, where it's like you got to have a few more tricks. You got to, if your primary thing is your shot, you have to be able to get yourself to better scoring areas and be able to, you know, do different things to get by defensemen or find different angles to to shoot the puck. And we've seen that, where you see it a lot in the shootout, where guys are shooting from, you know, kind of, it's almost like a deception thing, where I feel like he had this one thing that was amazing in junior, and that's the thing, his crutch, and it's just not quite working at this level the way that he would like. But as soon as he adds more to his bag and guys have to worry about other things, that his primary weapon will have more opportunity to.
Yeah. And the other thing I would like to see is the giveaways. And
he's got to clean that up.
That is
all the little details have to be.
Yeah, and I think he will. I'm hopeful that he will. Again, I keep
and he'll get
going
stronger.
To,
you can get a half a step faster. Like you can. There are things that he can do to get better. And like you said, you know this better than basically anyone outside the locker room. His work ethic.
Oh,
so I'm sure that he will put the work in. I'll be interested to see if he goes to Team Canada for World Championships, or if he's like, you know what, I'm gonna just. Maybe take a week off and get in the weight room and get to work. I wonder where that balance lies between, hey, like Team Canada this year, World Championships is not the right move.
And I also think the production from the young guys coming up is going to push him. Like watching what Frankie Nazar has done the last month, I think is.
I mean, Nazar's been the best forward.
Yeah. And Mikheyev hasn't been far behind. Mikheyev, the two fastest players on the team have been the two best forwards.
They're dynamic kind of together, too. Like, you see
them,
you
put them on
kill,
that penalty kill.
Good luck.
That is a lethal threat.
I mean, imagine a day in the not too distant future where your PK1 might be a 6'4 Del Matro, a 6'6 Vlasic, and then Oliver Moore and Renzel, who are two of the fastest guys in the league.
Yeah,
that's going to be.
I know.
Good luck. Good luck out there.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned Korchinski and all. Yeah. There's a lot there to like.
He looked pretty good on Sunday too.
Yeah, you liked what you saw
from
him.
Yeah, I did. So the skating is evident, but I thought he managed the puck a lot better. I thought he had a couple moments defensively that were like, okay, like that's better. Because I have my concerns about him, and I have concerns about him. Just where is he going to bring value to this team? Because you have so many defensemen who can. Do what he does best better, and then the things where he's deficient, you have Del Mastro and Kaiser and some of these other guys. So, but his talent is obvious, which is great to see.
We'll get Eddie Olczyk's thoughts on Connor Bedard through two seasons in the National Hockey League. Nobody better than Edzo, who knows what it's like to be a teenager to start off your NHL career. And we'll get to the story that has taken over in the National Hockey League, Alex Ovechkin becoming the all-time leading goal scorer. Edzo called the game for TNT yesterday. He joins us next on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show. When you're at home, don't miss Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Back on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. Joining us now on the Yingling Guest Hotline, Eddie Olczyk. Fresh off the call of yesterday's record-setting performance by Alex Ovechkin. Edzo, great stuff with TNT yesterday. What was that experience like for you?
Well, PB, great to be with you, Chief, as well. It's just one of those opportunities that, you kind of dream about as a broadcaster. And, with Ovi being on such a heater here recently, like we didn't know, obviously you don't know, I mean, he needed two to tie going into that Friday night game against the Hawks and three to break it. And, I mean, obviously we were hoping for at least, save us one anyways, if he was going to do it or not. And, just to be in the building and have the privilege and honor to be able to be a very small part of it on the broadcast, but it was super electric. We had done the game in Carolina on Wednesday night for TNT, and I mean the place was jumping, and the anticipation, but yesterday and at the UBS Arena in Elmont, New York, was just off the charts. And every time he was on the ice, you could hear a buzz in the crowd, and then obviously when that puck ended up into the back of the net, it was pretty awesome to be a part of.
Yeah, it was spectacular to watch. I remember where I was when Gretzky got 894. He's almost 40 years old now. What does he even have left to play for? He's got his cup. He's got this record. Do you think he comes back next year?
Well, it's an interesting conversation now, Chief, that, now that he has broken the record. I think I said on a broadcast yesterday, you know, maybe he gets to 899 and he just says, okay, I'm done. You know, he gets his number there, he gets Gretzky's number there, and says, like, if somebody can track us down, then at 899.
Yeah, more power to you.
You know, more power to you, exactly. You know, he does have 1 year left on his deal. The interesting thing for me on this is that in talking to a lot of the Capitals over, you know, this whole season, but in particular here down the stretch, I mean, they have played for a cause here. Like, they have rallied around this former Alexander Ovechkin, and they played at such a high level. I mean, they've had an unbelievable season. Spencer Carberry will be coach of the year in the National Hockey League. I mean, I think on a team-wise, and then also Ovi as well, is can they get to another level? You know, I mean, that's a big question. To me, that's a big question. And, you know, these games down the stretch, I mean, they're not really meaning much now, so maybe they'll get the proper rest and all that kind of stuff. But that'd be something to keep an eye on here. Is, you know, I mean, just, you know, coming off of this high, you know, will they be able to crank it back up and get to where they want to get to? But as far as Ovi, I mean, you know, I think it probably depends on a lot on, you know, on what kind of run that they have in the playoffs and go from there. But, I mean, there's, you know, there's lots of speculation on what's going to happen. But really, until it decides, you know, until he decides, then, you know, we'll wait to see what happens. But he does have 1 year left on his deal, and if he wants to obligate that, then, you know, and see how it goes. But think about it, 14 40-plus goal seasons in his NHL career. I mean,
incredible.
Nobody's done that before. Nobody's done it before. So a tip of the hockey helmet to Alexander Ovechkin for becoming the greatest goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League.
Edzo, it was fitting that, you know, he scored from the top of the left circle. I heard you say, you know, over 25% of his 895 goals are from his office. And I actually thought it would have been a little higher than 25%. But having watched him for the past two decades and having, you know, a front row seat to it, what in your mind has made him such a prolific goal scorer?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting, PB and Chief, is, you know, back when Alexander Ovechkin was being drafted in 2004, I was coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins. And we had the second overall pick. And the two players coming out at that time were the Grade 8 and Evgeny Malkin. So, you know, we were in a rebuild. You know, we knew, you know, we were blowing it up. And, you know, we knew who was obviously coming. And, you know, we had just drafted Marc-Andre Fleury the draft before, number one overall, moving up from 3-1. And at that time, I mean, in the scouting meetings, I mean, it was split down the middle. Who should you take? I mean, obviously, everybody knew that Ovi was, you know, a bull in a china shop, and, you know, a combination of, you know, like, you know, Butkus and Sayers and Sweetness, you know, and then you had Evgeny Malkin, the center iceman that could do it all. So I think, you know, going back all that time and then seeing what he's done now, PB, I think what's helped him, and I've said this over the broadcast on TNT the last couple of games, is that I think he has really, I think he's evolved. I think there's been a lot of smartness to how he has changed his game over the course of the last, I'll say, 5 to 7 years, where before he'd go through you every time. And I think he's become much more selective on his physical confrontations. He's picked his spots. He'll still run people over. They'll still try to run you into the third or fourth row. But I think that's helped him. It's helped him, you know, it's helped him to stay healthy. And it's also been able to give him probably a little bit more energy. I mean, you mentioned his age and, you know, approaching 40 years of age and just having that extra energy in a game and on the ice instead of, you know, leaving it on the physicality part. So I think that has really helped him here. Like, there is no doubt if he was continuing to play the same way he did the first 12, 13 years of his career, at some point you get older, you're going to break down, you're going to get hurt, you're going to miss games, and obviously you're not going to be able to score. But I think that he really, really took it to heart and just said, you know what, I'm going to be much more selective on physical play, and I'm going to save energy, and it's going to help me. And sure enough, he's done it. So, I mean, his game has evolved. The biggest knock on him, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, you know, before he got to 2018, is there was that, well, he's an unbelievable player, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but he's never won. Well, he got his team to win the Stanley Cup in 2018 after losing game one against the Vegas Golden Knights, which was their first year, and eventually won four straight. So he's done it, and he's done it, you know, he's evolved as a player, and I think that speaks to the greatness of Alexander Ovechkin, not just the goal scorer, but I think the complete player.
Yeah, it's been, it's funny that he's also chasing down Cal Clutterbuck for the most hits of all time, which it looks like he's going to have that record as well. So we'll have to have a TNT cut in ISO cam on him for that too. Now, as a broadcaster, when you think about the excitement around this chase and then what we have with the Four Nations, is this the greatest regular season that you can remember as your time as a broadcaster?
Oh, boy. If, I mean, when you talk about, you know, specific Chief in where it's not only getting, you know, the diehards like we are, the attention, but, you know, even more importantly is you're getting a casual fan and you're getting people to realize, wow, I mean, you had the Four Nations and we all know the result of that and how, you know, how it all came out and the positivity that came after it. And then you have, you know, the goal scoring record go down. And, you know, I think, look, at any time you see Wayne Gretzky or any time you see a graphic with Wayne Gretzky and somebody can go by him because the guy has, you know, pretty much every record there is in the history of the National Hockey League. So I'd be hard pressed to sit here and say that there is a year or two that, you know, that I can't mention right now, Chief, but when you do look at between February and the first week of April, you sit there and go, wow, has this been a win not only for the National Hockey League, I think it's been a win for the game. It's been a win for the game of hockey because you have a lot of people talking about it that, you know, quite frankly, don't and don't know it very well and are probably, you know, guarded on trying to talk hockey. But that's okay. That's why you got the hockey show on Wednesday nights on ESPN 1000 and so for me, this stretch here has been as good as I can remember as a broadcaster.
Eddie Olczyk joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Edzo, having known Dylan Strome when he was here in Chicago and traveling with him for those years, and then seeing how he's found this, you know, kind of perfect hockey home in Washington, what are your thoughts on Strome's, not only his role on 895, but you know, assisting on a majority of Ovi's goals this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, TB, I mean, we were there front and center. I mean, we saw, like, you saw glimpses of it, right? Like, he did have some chemistry with the Cat and Kaner, right? I mean, you know, he did. Now, maybe it wasn't as consistent, but I would say, in fairness to him, is that the leash was a lot shorter at that time in his career than it is now. I mean, look at that. There are very, very few perfect hockey players, and his strengths are generating offense, holding on the puck, making plays. He's become a better goal scorer. He's become better in the faceoff dot, winning a lot of faceoffs. You know, I mean, still look at him. Yeah, he's not great defensively, and I mean, he does it. He's not a fast skater by any stretch, but he can offset, you know, his maybe his lack of foot speed, and I can certainly relate to that in my 16-year NHL career, is that you kind of know what's going to happen before it does, so you get a step on somebody that might be a little bit quicker. So I just think that he is he's worked extremely hard, and he's got an unbelievable opportunity there in Washington, and they love him, and he's got great chemistry with a lot of guys there, but That's a pretty good notch in the belt there to be assisting on the most historic regular season goal we've had in the National Hockey League in a very, very long time.
All right, well, we'll shift gears. We'll make it more local here with the Hawks. You know, season's winding down. We're seeing all these young guys come in. I was at the game on Sunday. It's very exciting. They have some big decisions to make here. If you could earmark like a perfect player for them to add, what kind of player do they need to add to this mix to kind of go to the next level via trade or free agency?
I think look at it, and that was partly when it is derby season right around the corner, as you both know. So, I mean, you know, you need a thoroughbred up the middle of the ice. I mean, that to me is like if you look at the team, I mean, just look at the teams in the division. I mean, that's where I would start. Like, you just look at the teams in the division and look at the guys that you have at the center ice position. And look at, they're hard to find. They're hard to come by. But in order to take that next step, just in the division, forget the conference, just in the division, somehow, some way, you're going to have to take the next step. And look at, Blackhawks fans have seen it over the years of the, you know, of the depth and the center icemen that they've had in this franchise for forever. But when the team is going good, it does start in the middle of the ice. So for me, Chief, without naming any names, I mean, I think that would be, you know, a priority, you know, number one, two, and three is that if you can look at you might have to move an asset or two and a draft pick and a, you know, in a player in order to get that type of person. But I think that is such an important part of the way the National Hockey League is now is having that big thoroughbred down the center of the ice.
And that brings us to Connor Bedard, you know, playing mostly center this year, has played wing at times. Again, he's 19 years old, two 60-point seasons. You know what it's like to be a teenager in the National Hockey League. How would you assess Bedard's first 2 years? And is the jury still out in your mind of whether he's a centerman or a winger?
Well, look, I think he's performed very well, PB, watching, you know, a lot of the games and seeing. And look at, yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, all players have blemishes, you know. I mean, all players have to learn and go through the growing pains, especially as a young player. Look, I said this before, is that, you know, I mean, Connor Bedard, I mean, you know, he's never gone in his life. He's never gone, until he gets to the National Hockey League. I mean, he never went probably two or three games in his life where he didn't score a goal, or maybe two or five, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then when you come to the best league in the world and there is all that pressure, and you go six, seven, eight, nine games without scoring, I mean, the psychological part is as difficult as the actual act of going to play and be the go-to, you know, be the go-to guy, regardless of the age in the National Hockey League. So I think for him, the growing pain individually, obviously team-wise, he'll learn, he will become better, and look at better players around him, that, you know, better brand of hockey, so to speak, when you have more depth. And, you know, look at, they've been in a rebuild and they're trying to add and seeing how this is all going to play out. Now, as far as the other part of the question, or the other question, PB, is, you know, I think that's a fair question. Is at the National Hockey League level, is he a center or is he a winger? Now, people may say, well, you know, he could start out at center, whatever, and then, you know, he eventually works himself over the wing and there really isn't positions. Well, that's, you know, the center ice position is so important with getting the puck off of faceoffs, and I know he's improved on his faceoffs over the course of the year, which is great. But that's the question that, you know, A, the organization has to make, and the B, is the player on board and wants to, you know, go ahead and move over to the wing or play center, vice versa, it doesn't really matter. So I think that's a fair question. And at some point, I think for him, for his development, is to get him in a spot and say, okay, we are going to sink or swim with you here. Now, going back and forth, I'll just say this. I did it a lot in my career. It's not easy for, you know, I did it in, you know, in years like 10 through 14 where one, you know, four or five games I'd be center and then all of a sudden I'd be on the wing. Like, it's not easy for a guy that, you know, at that time for me, I was, you know, approaching, you know, 700, 800 games in the league. Like, it's not easy, and it's, I'm sure it's not easy for a young player like Connor Bedard, even though of the accolades and the stardom and everything else. Like, it's a different game. It's a 200-foot game. They're stopping and starting. There's really important defensive responsibilities at the center ice position. And then when you're a winger, it's a 140-foot game. You know, you're able to kind of sit back in the weeds and be a, you know, a free safety and kind of look and see and then, you know what your routes are. So, I mean, I think that that's the thing. So I think it's a fair question, and I think that for him, once it's solidified, then I think you'll see, and then you'll be able to evaluate and see the type of player that he, you know, I think that everybody hopes that he can become is just get settled in one spot and then figure it out from there.
Edzo, right. TNT has the Stanley Cup final again this year, right?
Yes, we do.
So as we approach here the final week or so of the regular season, a lot of eyes are on that Eastern Conference and how the wild card situation will go down. Will Montreal hold on to the final spot? Could the Rangers, the Wings jump up there? We saw Biz yesterday say there's a Sunshine State conspiracy that Toronto might end up playing Florida in the first round. Things are shaping up to be a really, really interesting Stanley Cup playoffs, is it not?
Wait, did you say Biz picked Toronto again? Is that what you said?
Well, no. We all know he picked Toronto. He's upset. He was hoping to play Ottawa, and now he's worried that Florida
careful.
Yeah.
Careful. I mean, look at I love Toronto. Like, I expected, look at the start in the summertime when they hired Greg Berube, Chief, the other Chief. I thought Toronto, with the acquisitions in the direction that they were going on the back end, is that they had a chance to make a real serious run. And look at, they've proven that they should make a serious run here. Like, I would be disappointed in having played in Toronto for 3.5 years. I'd be disappointed if the Leafs didn't make a serious run. I'm talking about getting to the conference finals. Like, I think that they have that ability, because I think when you look at other teams, like right now, Florida, and I know they're banged up, no Ekblad because of suspension, and then obviously Matthew Tkachuk out because of injury. They can't score right now. I mean, they cannot score a lick right now. So, I mean, it is about matchups. It is about who you're getting at a particular time. But look at, it ain't no layoff if it's Toronto, Ottawa. I mean, let's make that perfectly clear. So, but it is absolutely wide open. You're right. I mean, Montreal's on a heater. The Rangers, I mean, they're having a really difficult time right now trying to get that last wild card. So it's all about health. It's all about matchups, especially in the Eastern Conference. And then, you know, pick your poison in the Western Conference. I mean, the St. Louis Blues, I mean, how hot are they? They're moving up the ladder in the Western Conference. You know, you got Vegas, you know, you got Dallas. I mean, L.A. How about L.A.? Yeah. I mean, somebody asked me the other day, I just said, you know what? I mean, how about an L.A.-Toronto Stanley Cup final? I mean, why not? I mean, both those teams have had unbelievable regular seasons. But as you guys know, a bounce the puck here or there and all hell breaks loose. So we'll see how it all plays out. But you're right. TNT will have it all for you, the Stanley Cup finals this year.
All right, Edzo, we'll be watching. We appreciate the time as always, and enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll be watching.
You got a Derby future for us, real quick?
You know what, Chief? I've been on, full disclosure, I've been on 3 different horses here in the last probably 5 weeks. Right now, if the Derby was tomorrow, I would pick Journalism, a horse from California. The other horse I think you got to look for is Sandman. And the other horse I think you got to be looking at is a horse by the name of Tiztastic. So Journalism, Sandman, and Tiztastic. And let's hope somebody can get to the we can get to the windows and get
slips.
Even
yep.
for the last couple of weeks.
All right. Well, you're always Tiztastic. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Edzo joining us on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling is in Chicago. After 196 years, you can enjoy Yuengling traditional lager, light lager, golden pilsner, black and tan, and flight. Of course, you had to give a little question about the ponies.
Yeah, I mean, we are around the corner. It is almost National Edzo Day. That's the guy I go to. And the little trick I do with Edzo is that instead of doing it on the morning of the race, I get a future out. So I get better odds at this time than I do in a month. So that's the play, and I always listen to
All the
to
three he mentioned, were they on your radar at all?
No, my radar consists of what Edzo tells me to put on my radar.
That's good to know. Yeah. All right, be caller 10 right now to win a $200 gift card to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. You must be 21 or older. Live in Illinois, Indiana, or Michigan to be eligible. We'll be caller 10. You'll get that $200 gift card to Four Winds Casino. Back with more on The Hockey Show after this.
The Hockey Show.
Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, Barstool Chief Pat Boyle with you this Monday night. Changing things up a little bit. We have White Sox baseball on Wednesday that was going to affect the showtime. Next week will be our final show. We'll be on Thursday. Season ends Tuesday. So we'll kind of give our grades, our off-season to-do list.
We should come back after the 4th of July or maybe right before or after the draft. We'll break down the Brady Tkachuk trade, the Mitch Marner signing, all of that.
All of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fantastic.
Sam Bennett, come on down. We'll do it all.
Okay. From your microphone to 1901 West Madison, may it happen. Yeah. Hey, we want to congratulate Howard in Skokie. He was the winner of that $200 gift card to Four Winds Casino. And a bonus, Howard gets to join us now live on ESPN 1000. What is up, Howard? How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. I have a question. I don't know that there is an easy answer.
Okay.
The NHL, don't want to get confused. While we have a cap, you have people are being bought out, and there's a lot of injuries in the league. And it seems like a lot of teams, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm a Wild fan, don't have enough bodies to play the way the cap is structured. And I don't know whether the LITR changes or whether these are, whether anything can be done, but it seems like it's kind of sucks when teams are getting injured and they can't bring guys up from the minors.
All right, well, let me dive into that for you. First of all, I want to let you know the cap is going up significantly over the next 3 years. So right now it's at $88 million. Next year it'll be at $95.5 million. The year after that, $104 million, and then it'll go to $113 million.
Caps only go up.
So I have heard that the reason why LTIR was implemented was because the cap was not going up enough significantly. Yeah. And when players did get injured, there was no way to replace them.
Yeah.
So that's why they created LTIR. It worked for the Blackhawks in 2015 when Patrick Kane had the broken collarbone and came back right in the first round. Now, yes, have teams like Vegas probably
been Vegas quite a bit. Yeah.
Is Florida going through something with it right now? Probably. But I think with the cap going up as significant as it is, I think you're going to see less playing around with LTIR.
Yeah, and Howard and Skokie, the Minnesota Wild fan, this is the last year you have to worry about Parise and Suter. So that's not an LTIR issue. That's a buyout. Next year they're making $833,000 apiece as opposed to $7 million. So they're a combined $14 million. Billy Guerin, for navigating that alone and having them in the playoffs, should probably be GM of the year.
All right, let's get to the team you saw yesterday at the United Center. Went to like your seventh or eighth home game. And Frankie Nazar and Ilya Mikheyev, two fastest players on the team. Both see him on the PK.
I'd like to see a race and add Oliver Moore into that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'd buy that race. Mm-hmm. Look, they've been the two best forwards. And I think Nazar, he only has 9 goals, but he's probably had minimum 10 breakaways this year and hasn't scored on all but maybe one of them. If he cashes in on half of those, I think it's a whole different story. I have loved what I've seen from Nazar.
If Nazar played the full season, I bet he'd finish second on the team in goals to Donato. So he's got 9 goals in 48 games, and I agree that his finishing around the net on some of these grade A chances, the breakaways, that are really just created as a function of he's faster than everybody. So he creates the space, and he creates passing lanes. He stretches the defense. So the way that he's been able to impact this team in transition is nothing short of remarkable, especially the last 3-4 weeks. So, yeah, if he had a full season up, he'd probably be right around that, you know, 24-25 goal mark. And that's why that goal on Sunday, it was like the monkey off his back a little bit, like getting one on the breakaway, on the PK, finish, emphatic, and that really, like, propelled them to the win because it was a nothing-nothing game at that point, and then he really – That lifted them.
And we both agreed we're up against the clock, but Sam Renzel is not going to see Rockford next year.
Nope.
Do you think Oliver Moore will spend most of his time next year with the Blackhawks?
Most, yes. I think it's possible that he gets time in Rockford, too, like they did with Nazar this year. But it kind of depends on what this summer looks like and if there's buyouts or trades or signings and how many roster spots are there. But he skates well enough. He doesn't look out of place. And the thing with Renzel, too, it's almost like his mistakes that he makes, they don't matter because he'll fumble a puck or turn it over, and then it's like, oh, against most defensemen,
never
going
seems
the other way.
Overwhelmed.
Doesn't seem overwhelmed, but he skates so well that he makes up, like, whatever mistake he makes, he's able to get back and cover for it.
That's
himself.
What I marveled about him yesterday. Like, just, you know, below the goal line. Four checkers coming in on him. A lot of times, D-man's like, I gotta throw it
just
up the wall, whatever.
Out.
He's
class
like,
is
no.
Your friend.
Reverses, yeah. Goes the other way, gets it to Vlasic. Vlasic exits the D zone.
He's right. Chill.
That
big,
is gonna
big
do
bird, it. They call him.
That's gonna do it for us. Thanks to our producer Charlie Bevins and Jack McGrath, Eddie Olchek for joining us. We will be on next Thursday. We're moving around. We're making line changes here on the Hockey Show. We'll see you next Thursday as we put a bow on the Blackhawks regular season. That'll do it for the Hockey Show, presented by Four Winds Casino, also sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza.